You are listening to Mahogany Says Radio Show with Mahogany Silvering, mahoganysilvering.net. Tennessee's Whiskey, the number one bestseller by L. Loren. Single father Weston Daniels has built a nice life for himself and his five-year-old son. After escaping the nefarious family business, all he wants is the peace and quiet of the South and the occasional, no strings attached, roll in the hay. But destiny steps in when he meets an ebony beauty who bombards his bar. Grad student Patricia Woods is on the brink of homelessness and needs some quick cash to pay her overdue rent. A redneck bar named Whiskey's would do just the trick with its notorious bikers and flowing tips. However, when Weston's past catches up with him, he is faced with choosing between her life and the happiness he desires. Tennessee's Whiskey by best-selling author L. Loren. Available on Amazon. Get your copy today. Fresh Meat, an interracial erotic romance by best-selling author L. Loren. Spending bike week in Daytona Beach was supposed to be research for an upcoming movie role. Smoke had no idea all the perks of being an undercover biker would offer. He couldn't afford any mistakes, so he took a vow of celibacy. However, fate had other plans. As soon as he arrived, a beautiful little Spitfire sparked his engine, and he threw those vows right out the window. Baby Bird captured his heart in one day. Now his mission is to make her his and claim his own happy ending. Fresh Meat, part of the Lunchtime Chronicles by best-selling author L. Loren. Available on Amazon. Get your copy today. Southern Comfort by best-selling author L. Loren. Garrison Daniels is on the run after a failed attempt to murder his brother and overthrow his father as boss of the Enterprise faction. Knowing his days are numbered, why would he be in a mansion filled with his father's deadliest associates? One word, Melina. She was getting married, but knew Garrison could never resist disrupting the ceremony. Melina is Enterprise's top assassin, and the wedding, just a ruse to draw out her mark. She's always been Garrison's ride or die. What happens when the sentiment becomes reality? Southern Comfort, a smooth, sweet, and 100-proof interracial erotic romance. Part of the Lunchtime Chronicles. Written by best-selling author L. Loren. Get your copy on Amazon today. Mahogany Says Radio Show with Mahogany Silvering, mahoganysilvering.net. Good evening, everyone, and also happy holidays, since we are at the beginning of December and everyone's still getting into the Christmas spirit, so there's a little Carol of the Bells for you. But I hope that everyone's having a great evening, and welcome to the Mahogany Says Show with your host, Mahogany Silvering. I have a wonderful special guest that she's been a prior guest on the show, which I love to have her anytime. She's amazing, and she created the Lunchtime Chronicles, which we are here to talk about tonight. So please welcome Ms. Sierra London. Sierra, how you doing?
Hello. I'm doing awesome. Thank you so much for hosting me again. Hello, everybody.
Yes. So I'm excited about this one because I just finished it yesterday. So I'm like still in the afterglow. That was really cool. But Red Velvet.
I'm so glad.
Yes. Newest release. It was like right on time too. I just finished another Asian and Black Woman Romance, and it's like, wow, this one was really good.
Oh, that is so good. I tell you, I love Knox and Sia's story, and I didn't know how it was going to be received, right? Because they mm-hmm. are secondary, really secondary characters in Mandy's story, and they're not on the page as much as some of the other characters, and so I wasn't sure. But I really wanted to delve into Sia's issues and just showcase how sexy Knox was and what an awesome hero he was, so.
Yeah,
I'm glad you
that came across. you didn't miss a beat. That really came across because I was just enamored just from the first page. I mean, it was steamy from page one. So it was like, okay, I'm going to read
Yay.
This. So, yeah, you had me. I was like, okay, I can finish that lady. Let's finish this. Yes, those two and Italy. Wow. That was.
Yeah. That's where the idea came to me when I was in Italy in February.
Mm-hmm.
The idea to start their story there came to me because story, you meet Knox and Sia actually all the way back in book one, which is Whipped, when mm-hmm. he comes to the wedding. And I was in Italy. I was working on Mocha Latte. At the time, which came out in April, it was in season two, and that was Drake and Deja's story. And Italy
okay.
was just so beautiful to me. Like, it was so mm-hmm. peaceful and just a beautiful place to write that I, you know, mentally I didn't want to leave. COVID
gotcha.
Kicked me out. But anyway, physically COVID kicked me out. But I didn't want to leave. And so... Knox and Sia's story was my way of just kind of holding on to Italy and not
nice.
Like all the drama that was going on with the pandemic at the time, but just
yes.
the beauty of Italy and the people.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. It's very sexy.
Yes,
very sexy.
It is.
Soft and green and rolling hills. And it was just a wonderful time for me. And I was there with friends, which made it even better. And I wanted that to come across in their story.
It definitely did. I mean, just the description and where they were, and it's like, you know, a very romantic place. And I thought, wow, this is, you know, and then when they came back, I'm like, oh, man. It's like, how is this going to go?
Yeah.
But, you know, it was really, you know, just, and I love how Knox is so straightforward and just and very masculine. I love that take
yeah.
charge. No, yes. No, you are mine. That's it. There's nothing else.
Yeah, I love that about Knox, too. Like, I'm probably not the best at crafting alpha holes, but I love that alpha male energy
yes.
That we get from Knox right up front. I like that when he comes
yes.
for Sia, he comes
yes.
not just making demands. He comes with a plan.
A man with a plan. Exactly. See,
yes.
you don't have it anymore. You know, you've got these men that are just like, you know, they're leaving everything up to you. And it's like, wait a minute. I mean,
yes,
even underneath
exactly.
that, he's still romantic. I mean, he just, like, he knew what he wanted. He knew what he was going to do. He was ready. You know, she may have been like, well, I don't know what's going on for the last 6 months. But, hey, you know what? He has a plan. So I love
yes,
how that came together.
Exactly.
And how you put Love Veronica journal in there. Because I've read that. I was like, oh, my God, it's in the book.
Well, I am such a huge fan of Elle Lorraine. And
mm-hmm.
we're friends. And so when she was working on her Love Veronica journal, I was so excited for her. I was like, oh, that is so far outside of my wheelhouse. But I'm
yes.
with you 100%. I support you. And, you know, we were talking through it when she got to the end as far as getting it published and printed and everything. And
mm-hmm.
I was like, I can't wait to buy this book. And so I had my own copy of the book and I shared it, you know, I'm married. So I shared it with my husband. And so we were talking about it. And I was like, you know what? I think this is such a cool concept for women.
Yes,
because
it really
sometimes,
is.
Especially as we get older. I'm like,
mm-hmm.
we get so stuck in patterns with our sexuality.
Yes.
And I was like, this book helps you break out of that, you know. If there's a part of your body or something you're uncomfortable with, if you go on that 90-day journey, that's going to be in the rearview mirror. And it's been liberating.
It is.
And
I mean, wow. Because I thought I knew a lot of things, but yes. And I like how it was done and how she had the group that came and they met with everybody and, you know, how they were open with each other, you know, including the journal. And even though it's just like that first scene, I don't want to spoil it for everybody, but you all got to get this book so you know what we're talking about.
Yes, get the book.
Yes, in the library. That's, you know, he just, hey, what you doing? What is this?
Like, what these libraries doing? What are these libraries doing?
I know.
Doing?
Like, and Trudy's like, he's like, you're not stopping me. I'm. This is. She's mine. I hear moaning. That's where I'm going.
Oh, right.
There was nothing she
and
could
so,
do.
For all you listeners out there, Love Erotica is actually a sex journal. It's a single woman's
yes.
guide to reaching her ooh-wee, right, or her ah.
Oh, yes.
You know, in 90 days. So
yes.
in the book, on this 90-day journey to reaching her ah, and she's done it already and not feels a part of it. He didn't realize it, but once
mm-hmm.
he learns about this sex journal, he's like, I'm game. He's not
oh,
threatened
yeah.
by her sexuality.
No, he wasn't.
And I love that, too. Yeah.
I don't think he's threatened by anything. I love the fact
no,
that he isn't
he wasn't.
Threatened by anything. You know, he's like, I know what I'm, you know, that's it. That confidence that comes across that, you know, okay, I can deal with that. I know that, you know, today's modern women, we can rule the world too. And we have everything we want to do. And we now have the opportunity to do it. But the fact that, you know, you want someone in your life that knows where they are going, knows how they're, you know, it has a plan for both of you. You know, not just themselves,
yes.
and even the strongest
yes.
woman. I'm sorry, you can't help but like, oh my God, yes, let's go with him.
Well, that's yeah. how I felt about Knox because I mean, Sia is very much living in the real world. She has real world issues at home.
Yes,
she has issues that a lot of women in our age group are facing. You
yes.
know, like how do I have a private life? You know, intimacy in my life when I'm
right.
caring for a
caring
parent.
For exactly.
That's, yeah. Yeah. I mean, children are one thing, but having another adult in the home that you're caring for is totally different.
Different. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. And
so,
we are at that age where, yes, we have parents that are older and, you know, they need more help. And the fact that she was totally there for her mother. I love that she just committed
yeah.
so much of herself. You know, I mean, that she didn't leave room for anything else. So, and Mama was trying to tell her. Mama was trying to tell her, too. You need your own life. And Mama had her own.
That is true.
Tear
Mama
not,
had more
you know?
Of a life than we realized, right?
So, yes. I was like, go, Mama. She's not lacking for anything.
For example.
Yes.
Yeah,
that
was
just
definitely
by yes,
example.
Definitely. I was like, okay, Sia, you know, you running behind. Mama already got something going on. You catch up with Mama.
Yes.
Because
yes.
you know how we have a tendency to see our parents one way, and then it's like we realize that, you know what, they're human beings. They go through the same things we do, and we don't realize that until we're actually adults. You know, because
mm-hmm.
you don't think, oh, my mother wouldn't do that. But yes, how do you think we got here, you know?
Yeah, no, you're right. And I mean,
yeah.
Sia is, you know, 40 plus years old, right?
Right.
And so at that age, we tend to see our parents as elders, you know, as elderly. That's probably a better
mm-hmm.
term, as elderly.
Right.
And her mom is so full of life.
Yes.
And I think it's something that Sia not only underestimated in her mother, but she underestimated that in herself.
Yes.
You know, that life,
I agree.
There's so much more to life than how you find her at the beginning of this story.
Yes. She's just like
mm-hmm.
barely existing. I mean, literally. I mean,
mm-hmm.
she was still having fun, but at the same time, she wasn't really making that time for herself. She really
there
wasn't.
There you have it. Yep. There you have it. There you have
exactly.
It.
And it is, you know, a little different, you know, when you're older and you're living with the parents, not the same like when you were little and living with a parent. totally different. And sometimes I think the roles reverse a little bit, you know,
mm-hmm.
where the parents like, you know, loosen up. It's like we've turned
mm-hmm.
into them and they've turned into us.
That is so
true. It kind of seems that way, you know, like they're willing to, you know, be happy and say, oh, look, I got this, you know, I don't know what you're talking about. Lighten up. You know,
right.
We were younger, we're trying to tell our parents lighten up, and they get older, then they lighten up. And we're the ones that are like, no, we shouldn't do this.
Yeah, like, Mama, I can't take you nowhere. Yeah,
exactly. Exactly. She was so embarrassed. I'm like, I would probably actually react that way if my mother said those things to me, too, because I've never heard my mother talk like that my entire life. So I would probably be freaking out, too, if she said anything. Okay, Miss Churchwoman. Go back in there and read your scripture because that's not good.
Yeah, my mother is probably a little bit more unconventional, so that helps with the storyline for me.
Yes. I was going to ask if that was going to be one of my questions. Is that close kind of to how your mother is? That was just,
my,
you know, and I can see that.
She is unconventional. But and she's comfortable with sexuality, so it's definitely a conversation mm-hmm. that we could have. Not that we've had
yeah,
the one
yeah.
that she and her mom has had, but my mother and I could definitely have that conversation.
That's great. See, I would have loved that, but my mother's not comfortable with stuff like that. And my father is, and I can talk to him like
uh-huh.
that, but I can't talk to my mother.
Oh,
she just gives
God.
Me that look,
oh,
like,
dad.
you know better, you know.
Oh, my God. My dad would probably faint. I mean, probably faint, and we'd have to call somebody to scoop him up off the ground. He would probably fall flat out.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's totally, totally reversed over here. I could, Dad and I could sit down and have a conversation. He read my last book. He helped me with one of the sex scenes. He's like, you should say this part. And I'm like, really, Dad?
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. I just asked him, I said, like, you know, you're a guy. What do you think? Well, how would you do this? And he told me. So I thought, wow, okay, that works.
Yeah, that's a good resource to have. I
yeah,
like that.
Yeah, it's a good thing, yeah. Because you always want to get, you know, yeah. as close to the real reality as we can, you know, with their character. So that they're definitely believable. And, you, I mean, wow, Knox and Sia, they are really, really fleshed out, I guess the word would be. To the point, where, totally relatable. I know
she
is. And I
That's
love
good.
Being in the library. Yes. So you did an excellent job with them. And I can't wait to read the next one so I can hear all about Missy Mandy.
I get that a lot. I get that a lot about Mandy's book that's coming actually next week. That's Mandy and Diesel. And, you know, Mandy
awesome.
Is an interesting woman. You know, I don't know, you know, what she shows you all on her page and how she is. You know, there's some dichotomy there. She's crazy
yeah.
in both worlds, but definitely you see more of, you know, her life beyond the page.
Yes.
So,
I love her page. And the little excerpt
yeah.
that she, you know, talks on there, and she kind of comes in, like, I think the last one I saw was about Sweet Georgia Peach. And she's like, yes, why I can have, definitely can have this. I said, oh, boy, I got to read that because she's really going to town on this one. I said, that's the first place I look sometimes just to see what she's saying today.
I know. So I am like
that
too. Sometimes I wake up and I'm like, what is this woman going to say today? Because honestly, I don't know until she's ready
mm-hmm.
to say it. I don't know what she's
exactly.
going to say. And the beautiful thing about lunchtime, and I don't know if I've shared this with you, is that
mm-hmm.
The authors in lunchtime, they don't send their stories to me ahead of time.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what their stories are going to be. I know what the titles are. I read the blurbs, but I don't know the story. So Mandy and I, we find out when everybody else finds out. We do not know. And so that's a part of the excitement, too, because I have to read the book. I have to read the book to make the Mandy videos. And so they don't know what Mandy's going to say, and neither do I. So everybody, it's like a double blind study. You know, we
right.
don't know what's coming.
Yes. I know you never know what she's going to say or how she's going to say it. So it's, and then to read about her and then hear her, that's just like so real. I mean, it's like just totally brings her to life. And it's just like she has just a whole character on her own. Just that's why I say I'm excited to read her book because that, yes, from watching her and how excited she gets that she talks about each book. And oh, yeah. So that's,
yeah, I'm not even definitely. Sure I could take Mandy everywhere. She's pretty crazy.
No, because she'll tell you. She just right off the top, you know. But I know there's a soft side in there somewhere.
Yeah. She keeps things interesting. I will say that about her. There's not a dull moment in Mandy's world.
No.
And this season, the authors in this season, you know, Ella Rim, Posey Park, Keita Kendrick, Sonya B, they have been really wonderful to work with. I've enjoyed season three so much. These ladies have just poured their hearts into this project and just pulled out all the stops in the books. And the readers are loving the stories, and so am I. I mean, I'm a reader at heart, and I just love this project so much. I really do.
I do, too, because each one is just – they're different, but they're just like – it's like all of you got together and you had this hive mind mentality when you're writing, even though you're all separate and different. And you have different writing styles, but it's like when it just seems like they all flow together. Like you guys all wrote this, like sitting in the same room. It really does. I mean, that's amazing how you guys do that.
I know. And we don't do any of that because one of the things I love about this project is I love the creativity that the authors bring to it. I mean, I have certain tenets for Mandy's world, but they read it and then they just let their imaginations run wild. And so it's so exciting for me as the creator of Mandy's world to see what other authors do with this character and her world and all her antics. It's fascinating, really, to see, you know, other people's voice come through and just give another dimension to Mandy's character. Like, I really do enjoy that part of it.
Yes, because, I mean, it really is. Just all of you guys are amazing. And it just seems like you're all, and Sonya fit right on in. She really did. Because it's her first, you know, her two baby. Yeah, she fits in perfectly.
It's interesting because the L. Loren and I, we're the only ones from, you know, season one and two. She came along in season two. I've been there since season one. And so we actually have three new authors this season. And it's like, whoa, like they outnumber, like we like the OGs now, OG triples, right?
So, yes. exactly.
Nice.
I mean, you guys are just, like y'all just have that flow together.
Account.
Yeah. It's, the word I'm looking for? It's a synergy there with all of you.
Definitely.
It's like you guys just, you know, just perfect. I don't even know how else to say it. I got goosebumps right now. It's like, I'm just, because it's like, it just seems to come together so well, you know? So all of them, I mean, even the books, you know, it's like you guys all sat in one room and wrote them together.
I mean, our cover designer, Dar Albert, she is fabulous. I love all the covers. Like, I look at the covers on Amazon and I just grin because everybody's just got all this hotness on their cover. I have nothing to do with what guys they pick. That is totally on them. I don't do any of that. And I'm like, oh my gosh, like, what is this guy's story? Like, And I'm like,
I mean, each one, they all just kind of go together. And I love how they have a magazine appeal because it kind of reminds me of a magazine. I love that. That is like so different from your typical, you know, romance covers. And it really stands out. It really does. I mean, you should get awards for each and every one of these covers. Like, seriously.
Thank you.
Some kind of contest or something, because these covers are just amazing. It's not your typical book cover, and it really stands out amongst other books. I mean, like, it's like you can't miss that, any part of them. You think there's, like, what, 23, I think, my last count? And they all just stand out.
We're at 25, I think.
You're 25? Okay.
Yeah, I think we're at 25. Yeah, I think my book, Mandy's Story, is number 26, which is crazy to have a series that, you know, everybody's still so excited about and looking for every week, you know, for 26.
Yes, because she is. Exactly.
Yeah, 26 books.
But it is. It's like you keep coming back for more, because they just keep you, you know, they just draw you in. Everything from the cover to the stories themselves, the characters are standout characters, and you're like, you want to know more about their life and and what else they can get into, because you just, I mean, it really, all of you, you just draw people in. And I say that as a reader, because I love to read too. So I'm like, oh yeah, that's definitely. And I love the cover for Red Velvet, because that's one of my favorite desserts. And yeah, the cover was right on time. So I had fun with the little promo video with the Red Velvet in the background, because I was like, oh, yeah. Yes, you
Thank
got me.
Thank you so much.
You got me.
Oh, my goodness. Because I was worried. I am not going to lie. I was like, oh, my gosh, how is not going to be received? Because, I mean, like you said, it's an Asian male black woman romance.
Right.
Most of the books are interracial, but not Asian male. We have one other one in the series. And so I wasn't sure, but the readers, they love him. They love him. And I'm so glad to see that, because we talk about diverse books. But, you know, we have to put that out there. Like, if we want people to buy more diverse books, then we have to write.
You have to write more diverse books. Exactly. And, definitely the general public. I mean, it's just, I see no reason why anybody wouldn't fall for Knox on, you know, there's just the way he's written. And, I mean, very relatable and like, okay, yes, this is definitely my book boyfriend from now on. it was kind of close between him and Toshiro from Redemption. Because those two, I'm like, they're almost kind of similar, but... Oh my goodness, because they got that alpha rough thing kind of going on, and one is, you know, former assassin, the other is, you know, finder of lost things, expensive lost things. So, you know.
Girl, I love me some yo-yo. Oh my
goodness. Yes, yo-yo is something else.
Yes, he is so thick and sexy. But you're right, two totally different kinds of men, but with very similar characteristics in that. You know, Knox and Sia is a little different because they are, you know, they're friends. They're friends.
Right.
They knew each other already. But once he gets it, like, okay, we are so much more regardless of what she's saying.
Exactly.
And he starts to move them towards where he knows they should be.
Should be.
Oh, my God. I love you. I love y'all. How nobody feel about you, Knox. I love you. I love you, and that has to be enough.
Girl, everybody loves him. But I definitely, he has a fan. I love Knox. I mean, there's just no way, and I consider myself kind of a girly girl, but I know I'm independent, but at the same time, if somebody said what he said, wow, okay. You got it all planned out, got, you know exactly what's going on, and oh, yeah. Because you can't help but, when a man exudes that kind of confidence, most men that have come across are kind of, you know, whatever, or they seem to kind of want to cater to you a lot, but don't really have a plan. So the fact that he was like, nope, I got her, she's mine, this is where we're going, this is what we're going to do. And you should, like, the biggest example of who you should go out with, especially for young girls just starting to date, or the single ladies out there, please do not fall for somebody. You have to do everything yourself, and you have to come up with what kind of dates you go on. No, ma'am.
Yes.
No.
I'm with you.
Raise your standards.
Yes. I am with you. I'm like, yes, You can do it all, but you shouldn't have to if you're in a relationship. And that's the point, right?
That's exactly the point.
To have to do everything just to say you got a piece of something is it's not worth it. And sometimes you don't see that until you're older.
Exactly, yes.
it's just not worth it if you have to do it all, because you should be able to share the load. And that's what I love about not sincere, in that for him to love her, he doesn't call on her to sacrifice anything in her life.
No.
And he just wants her to make room for him. Just make room for me. He's like,
exactly.
You don't have to give up anything. And, you know, that's how love is. Love spreads, love stretches, love accommodates. And he does that for her before she even realizes that's what she needs to feel safe in this relationship.
Right. Because she really does need that.
Yeah, she does.
Yeah, she really does.
And like so many women, like Sia doesn't realize that she needs that until it's gone. It's gone.
Yes.
And you can get so used to doing everything that when somebody comes along that offers to lighten your load and love you right where you are, it can seem scary and intimidating. And Sia expresses some of that. She doesn't express it in the best way, but
but that's real, because we don't always.
Right, right.
Yes.
I mean, love is messy, right? Messy man.
It is.
Love is messy.
It is
messy. It's not clean. It's not perfect, and it shouldn't be that way in romance novels either. Like,
nope.
It gets complicated.
Oh, sometimes we run away. Sometimes we don't want it, you know. We're afraid so much that, you know, we don't even want to take the chance, or we've been hurt or beat down so often we don't even want to try anymore, because we can get to that place, especially being a certain age and you've had all this stuff go on and, you know, it's like, oh, I'd rather just be by myself instead of just, you know, because it just hasn't worked so far. But really, it's just because the right one hasn't come along. But when the right one does and it offers you that opportunity, you know, if you are so stuck in yourself, you got to let go.
Yeah.
Literally. And I think that's the hardest thing it is for us as women, to let go sometimes and let someone else do it, because we always are, we have to be so on all the time.
True.
You know, because we, God forbid, we actually trust someone and then they hurt us. And yeah, that trust is going to be hard earned. Hard earned.
Yeah. You are so right. And this is definitely a grown and sexy story.
Yes.
It's got a grown and sexy storyline with grown and sexy issues with, you know, a man who's lived, who's experienced, a woman who's lived to a certain extent, but not as experienced as you would expect for her age.
Right.
And you see some of that, you know, with a woman who has had to make some sacrifices very early on in her life, you know, to support her family.
Right.
And I love that about this story in particular. It's one that you have to slow down and read and really process, even though it's a quick read. You know, it's weighted. There's a lot there.
It is. There's a lot going on. I mean, just in the short story, it's a lot. And I thought I packed a lot into my short stories. You packed a lot to this one. But I love the fact that the character is an old, you know, is a more mature woman, because, you know, you read stories and they're mostly in that 20 to 30 age group. But I love the fact that this is a different part of life, because it's real, it's raw, and it is sexy. And I mean, not just the lovemaking, but just, you know, the things that go on between the two of them, the attraction, the fear, that everything is very real and open.
Right.
It's like you can really, or at least I could really relate to a lot of what she was saying. So, yeah, I think that's one of the things I like about it.
there's a part in the story where a camera comes into play. And when I was writing it, it made me laugh because I'm like, I was thinking to myself, like, if this character was 20 years younger, I'd be concerned about this ending up on social media. But at 40, ain't nobody throwing no everyday woman's body out there on social media.
No. And I'm sorry, but a real man who loves his woman, he does not want any other man looking at her. Straight up alpha. No, this is my woman. This is not for us to share with everybody. No, this belongs to me. You don't get any of it. So, yeah, so
you
would never do that. Now, the young guys that don't really care, of course, they're the ones that put go posting it because they're mad at her. You know? But, yeah.
Right.
There's a maturity there that is, you know. Yeah.
Exactly.
Really,
I was thinking to myself, I'm like, yeah, at Nasir's age, this is not an issue they have to deal with. But a younger character, like, that would really come into play. You know, some of the things that came up in this story, you're like, ooh, I'm going to have to do that differently, depending on, you know, the age of these characters. Because, social media, you know, it's different relevance depending on your age, right?
Yes. Because, you see young girls showing everything on Instagram, and it's just like, oh, God, save some things. I mean, it's just, showing it to everybody for attention. It's just, no. I mean, and what man wants a woman that everybody has seen? You know, they might say that, yeah, it might be somebody he can play with, but he's not going to take you seriously. Because you got to have some respect for yourself. But I know, playing it to young women.
Well, the world is changing, right? I mean, let's be honest. Like, some of those things that we were taught, like, you know, hide this, don't show that, don't speak about that. And I'm like, the world is changing and evolving. In one of my other books that I wrote, like, bad girls do get married. Bad girls do catch the guys. Bad girls, good girls too. But, you know, we always say, you know, good girls get this, this, and this. And I'm like, that's not always true. Sia is a very good girl. And she's over 40 and she's alone, you know.
But she also knows what she likes. And she's, especially after going through that 90-day journey to where she's opened up to, you know, finding and realizing her own sexuality and taking, you know, and owning that. I think that's also part of it for me because, in my 20s, it was totally different. But, you know, now I understand my body. And, you know, kids are now coming up that they are starting to explore. They know things that I never knew in high school or college. You know, I have four daughters, and I'm like, are you serious? That's a thing? Yeah.
Right.
So, I was like, how do you know that? Like, I didn't know that till I was in my 30s. So.
Exactly.
It is.
Somebody showed it to me in a book, and then
or I read
like,
it
I had
somewhere.
No idea.
That's why I said I thought I knew everything. So I read Love Erotica Journal. I'm like, wait, that's the thing?
I know. I'm like the creative genius of Elle Lauren. I'm like, the I said, I wouldn't even know where to begin. I wouldn't even know where to begin with writing a journal like that. And I have recommended it to other people since I got it, went through it. I was like, you have got to take this journey.
Yes. Because it opened up my eyes to a lot of things. I'm like, I mean, I knew certain things.
Yeah.
And, I'll admit, I'm one of the kinky ones, but I mean, there were some things that I hadn't even thought about. I'm like, okay.
And that's what I like.
Try this.
Things
that
I hadn't thought about.
Yeah.
That she made me think about. And I was like, that's good because you know what? As your body changes, sometimes what you like changes, you know?
It really does.
You mature.
Yeah.
Sounds like.
And yes.
This is
pretty cool. As a mature woman. Yeah, those orgasms just are so much better than in my 20s. Like, you know your body.
Yep,
and you
like
really,
I know
when you begin to explore, it's like, okay, I got it now. Finally, right? And no wonder so many young guys are hitting on, you know, and we get called cougars if they hit on us. But like, dude, we're not really cougars, but I mean, come on. We just know what we like. At that point, we have experience, and we you know, more about ourselves. But there's some young women out there that are exploring, and they know more too. So I was like, I have to compare notes, my girls, you know, because they will, you know, well, say, oh, I didn't know that was something.
But I think it's also like learning how you and your body likes to be loved. And I think it takes
yeah.
some time to get there. You
it
know,
does.
It does. Like, I think about what feels like love to me physically, 20s, my 30s, my 40s, and now my 50s.
mm-hmm.
And it is not the same. It
no.
is it is not the same as what I thought, you know, loving my body really felt like back then compared to
mm-hmm.
Compared to now. And I think that's why it was so important to me, where
mm-hmm.
I am in my life, to share that journey through a character, because
yes.
I felt like I could unpack it better than if I was talking about it from my own perspective. Like, just, you know, with life, you know, you only see a snapshot, but when you write a story, all the pictures are there for the
mm-hmm.
reader to view from
yes.
beginning to end. And so how the message is communicated is different than if I'm just telling you from a snapshot in my life.
Right.
It's so easier to see the complexity of sexuality and intimacy and aging and
yes.
being, you know, single and childless at a certain age
mm-hmm.
through a character's eyes, you know, without
yes.
judgment, because it's the character that's going
exactly.
through it.
Exactly. So. It's the character going through it.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. Excellent
exactly.
job. Excellent job with
Thank
that.
Thank you.
Yes,
Thank
definitely.
You so much.
I love
I
it.
I am glad that you appreciated it.
Oh, yes, because it's like, oh, I can relate to this.
Yeah. And it's funny that it's about, you know, it has a mother in it, because my mom gets my newsletter, and she was like, she calls, and she's like, who is that hot guy on your cover, Red Velvet? Do you know him? Like, you knew the other guy on your cover? Like, I don't.
I know,
like,
right?
No.
You got it spoiled now. We think you talk to everybody on your cover.
Yes. I was like, no, I do not know him personally. And she was like, oh, my gosh. That she's like, I want a slice of Red Velvet.
Yes. Mm-hmm. I agree with Mama. Yeah, that was like that. That would be my perfect threesome right there. Yo-Yo and Knox.
Yes. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my gosh. Yo-Yo. I did that book for a book chat last month because I've read
mm-hmm.
it, I've listened, and I loved it so much, and I just wanted to share it with more people. And Kenya Wright, the author of Redemption,
yes.
And that's the book that features Yashiro, who's an Asian hero, and a Black woman. Her name is Ebony, and she happens to be a romance writer. And
yes.
I love that book. So
I love that part.
You see how much I'm explaining, just in case you want to go and grab it.
Yes,
but,
you do want to grab this book, most definitely.
But I love Kenya's writing style, and
mm-hmm.
I fell in love with Yo-Yo and Salt and Pepper. I was like,
yes, right, Salt and Pepper, yes.
I love
Ooh, baby, baby. The audiobook,
yes.
When he tries to rap, that was priceless. I'm sorry. That was
yes. That,
ooh,
yes.
Baby,
I listened
baby.
To the audiobook too. I've listened to it as well.
That's
and
what
it's
got
very
me.
Well
you know?
Done.
Wow. That, yes.
So I am glad that Knox and Sia's story is out in the world, and I can
yes.
join the ranks of authors like Kenya Wright, who writes wonderful, you know, stories that feature Asian heroes as well.
Yes.
So that is absolutely great.
I know. It makes me want to start writing more Asian. So, yes. Yes, because those were definitely. Yes. So I would definitely say you guys go out and get Red Velvet of the Lunchtime Chronicles. You will love Knox. You will definitely fall in love with him. Mahogany says, get
this
book.
Thank you so much.
Highly recommend it. 5 hearts, because I don't do stars. And, well, let's see. How many fire can I give you? I say about 50 on the fire.
Next week, y'all have got to get Diesel and Mandy's story. It's coming out. Next week, it's called Dolly Rancher. So
Rancher,
the cowboy for Christmas. And a very erotic cowboy. Yes, a very erotic cowboy for Christmas. He can handle Mandy. I'll just say that.
I believe it. I believe it.
Mandy.
You start seeing a different side of Mandy with him. So that's what I'm looking forward to. We got a little bit of. But I said I'm looking forward to this because if he can handle her, this must be some type of guy. So.
Because
you can see a different side to Mandy. She's lovable as is, but I'd love to see the different. Or, you know, how she is around him. That would be very interesting.
Yeah. Crazy. I'll just warn you.
Oh, yeah. Well, we know that. But that's why we love her. So, you know.
Yes. Mandy is a friend to all.
Yeah. She pulls no punches. At all.
She's good. And like most of my stories, you know, I love writing romances and within the context of family. So, of course, you have to meet some of the family members for Mandy. Because I think, you know, love is connection, you know, for me. Love is about connection as well as, you know, the intimate part. Of the romance, but it's definitely about connection. And I think for me, revealing character is also revealing that character's journey before you see them in the romance. And that's why I love incorporating family into my romances. So you can kind of see, like, what makes this character tick? What makes them so zany? What makes them appreciate life so much?
Exactly.
You know? So I love that I'm getting to finally share Big Mama with you all because Mandy's always talking about her Big Mama.
Yes, Big Mama. That's right. I forgot about that. It's right. Big Mama. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Oh, yeah, that's definitely.
Yeah.
So what day is it coming out again?
Well, now you're trying to get into Amazon. So we will see. Ideally... The book is supposed to come out every Wednesday. They're supposed to come out every Wednesday. But I tell you, all season, I think Amazon has released all the books on Monday.
Oh, okay.
Like I think they've all gone live on Monday, maybe Tuesday morning at the latest. But I think all of them have gone live on Monday. I think a couple of them actually went live on a Sunday because that's usually when we upload them. Because, you know, they need about 72 hours. So. But official release day is December 16th. But who knows? It'll probably go live on Monday.
Probably so. If it is, I'm going to read on the plane.
Oh, you're traveling?
Yes. I know. It's like, you know, it's a little tough or whatever, but there wasn't many people on this flight. So I'm like, hey, works for me.
Okay.
They have all these little protocols in place, and so, you know, they have to spray the airplane and do everything and between each flight, and so that's why I take the time to do that, and I looked on there, and it was not booked full at all, so I'm like, okay, there we go. We'll have lots of spacing. They let you go in row by, you know, in little spurts, I guess, so that you stay 6 feet apart when you're boarding the airplane, so they've done a lot. I mean, this is United Airlines, so they do a lot. and trying to protect everyone and making sure everyone's wearing the mask. And you can't even get in the airport without, you know, your face is not covered. There's somebody coming up to you, doing something to your face or telling you to leave.
Wow.
Yeah.
No, that's good. I mean, I'm so glad to see that people are being safe. Yeah. I mean, I'm a nurse practitioner in my former life, and so mm-hmm. you know, if I wasn't writing full time now, I would be in the hospitals, you know, caring for patients, you know, and their families impacted by COVID. So I'm
yeah.
actually quite thrilled to hear about all the protocols that they have in place to keep people safe. So yeah, kudos.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
and they're
I'm
really really do that because I have asthma, so I'm not playing. I got everything.
Yeah.
Got the gloves, got the mask, got my hand sanitizer that smells like cucumbers. And it's like, y'all ain't going to mess with me and my scented hand sanitizer, you know. You used to tease me all the time because I used to wear masks before COVID because of my asthma. Because people could wear perfume that's too strong or you know, it would send me into a fit. And it was like, don't hug me. Don't hug me. Back up. I can't breathe.
Yeah.
You know how guys get a little heavy with that cologne? Like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right, Deacon, you stay back. I love you from over here. Try to go into church off new. But yeah, but my dad is by himself, and so I called him up. He called me and asked me if I could come for, you know, spend Christmas with him. So that's what I'm going to do. So it's he's widowed.
Awesome.
And yeah. So I said, you know what? We've never really had a Christmas together in a long time. I think what, since I was 19. So, yeah, I was like, you know what, it's time. So,
okay.
Say so we'll
very
just,
cool.
You know, we'll hang out together. And like I said, you help me with another one I'm not writing. So, it's my writing
yeah.
buddy.
Yeah, what a blessing.
Yes.
That really
he is. He really is a blessing to me, and I'm glad that I can be a blessing to him now, that he's older.
Yeah.
And, you know, so.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what Christmas is about, right?
Yeah.
Nobody, you know, being there for one another, letting people know
mm-hmm.
that, you know, they're appreciated and valued. Yeah, that's what Christmas is about. And I hope that comes through in Mandy's book as well.
Yes.
That Christmas is about, once again, connecting. And even if you feel like you're alone, you know, there's someone out there that, you know, is willing to open the door, open their home and take
mm-hmm.
take you in, even if it's just for a little while.
Yeah.
And that
exactly.
makes all the difference, you know? Yeah,
mm-hmm.
it really does.
It really
I can
did.
Still remember
yeah.
when I was in the military, I was single. It may have been my second tour and I was stationed overseas in Japan and
oh,
I was
wow.
by myself and one of my coworkers. She invited me over for Christmas. It was
oh.
me and there was and she invited one of the doctors over who was visiting from North Carolina. He was in Japan by himself temporarily. And
mm-hmm.
another one of the enlisted members that worked with us. And we went over to her house for Christmas and it was absolutely awful. But what a blessing it was that she invited us over. She didn't tell us she couldn't cook. I wish she wouldn't have.
Oh, no. So, yeah, I could have brought something.
I know. Oh, my God.
No.
So we had Hamburger Helper and a salad and water for Christmas.
Wow.
Well,
hey, at least you're together, you know. I can have fun about that.
Yeah. I know. And I'm like, eating. I'm like, this stuff is really salty. Oh, goodness. Anyway, I still laugh about that. And
wow.
Yeah. And afterwards, she would let no one leave until we all sang one karaoke song. So that was too.
Yeah. I like karaoke. Yeah, no, I can't sing like that. But it's fun.
Yeah.
If you would do that with somebody else, yeah, with a stronger voice.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, they were serious about the karaoke, and it's funny because I was like, I really don't want to do it. And she's like, I have a song that's perfect for you. I was like, what is? She's like, Aretha Franklin, Respect. I was like, no.
Oh, there you go.
So, like, that's a very hard song to sing, and it's fast.
Yes.
Like, oh, God.
Right.
Oh,
well, it's better than a slow one, you know, kind of those ballads.
I know.
I know.
It's
not very funny.
Like, oh,
you're trying to sing a ballad that, you know.
I know. But it's a fun memory, right? It was someone taking me in for Christmas, wanting me to feel, you know, welcome and connected, you know, over a meal. And I still, I laugh about it now. You know, my eyes were bugging out of my head when I saw that big old skillet with the wooden spoon in it, a hamburger helper. But now.
Wow.
But now I can laugh about it. You know, I'm like, okay, this is an unconventional Christmas.
True. I've had some. Most definitely. Usually every year I make gumbo. I was like, oh, I don't know if I want to do it this year, but I think Dad's going to make it. So being from New Orleans, we always, it's expensive to make it where I live now. So it's easier.
Oh, that doesn't like, count. Here, everything tastes good in New Orleans.
Right?
Everything is good.
I had to bring, you know, a little bit of home with me when I moved here to Georgia. So, yeah.
I love, what is it, charbroiled oysters? I love those.
Oh, I've never had that. That sounds good, though. Mm.
That the first time I ever had them was in New Orleans.
Oh, wow.
Charbroiled oysters. That was the first time I ever had them. And, and I had some last year when I was in New Orleans. I think it was a restaurant called Deanie's. Is that right? Deanie's. It might be Deanie's. Down on, Bourbon Street.
Bourbon Street.
Mm-hmm. So if you're in New Orleans, try the charbroiled oysters.
Good.
They are.
I love
they
oysters.
They are quite delicious.
Fried.
Yeah.
Boiled. Steamed. I know. People just look at me like, they're gross. It's the texture.
Yeah.
Thing.
I don't like them every way, but I do like them charbroiled, and I like them cooked down with, like, crab oil and Old Bay seasoning.
Yes.
I like them that way.
Yes, because I like get the flavor. Because
I like
spice.
Yes, I'm the same way.
I love spice, too, but my stomach says no now.
Oh, no.
Yeah, so I even have to make my gumbo mild, but I always leave the filet out so the kids can, you know, add more spice to theirs because I can't do it anymore.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, you make yours authentic,
brown the roux, brown that flour, and make the roux and everything. So it takes a little while, but I interviewed another lady, what was her name? Sable Hunter, and she makes hers in the oven. Yeah, she browns her flour in the oven. I'm like, I'm going to have to try that, because that's how she makes her roux.
Oh.
I'm like, okay, I got to try that. Yeah, because it is time-consuming.
Cowboy romances, right?
Yeah. She does.
Yes. Okay. I've read her work. I've never met her, but I've read her
work. I had her on the show last month. She was amazing. So, yeah, she even gave me some of her recipes. I'm like, let me write this down. Oh, yeah.
Yes. I remember her Hell Yes series, I think it's called. Yes. I do remember her quite a bit. Wow. What a great night we've had, like, talking and going down memory lane and talking about Yo-Yo and all these authors.
Yes. Yeah, I'm very proud, and I love making Elle Lauren's commercials because she's had these books that are just awesome. So, yes. So, you know, I make commercials for everybody. I'll just have to let me know.
Okay.
I love doing them.
I'm all for that.
Yes.
And I love coming on your show. Thank you so much for having me. And I'm going to have to get in on those commercials because they were absolutely wonderful. I was listening. I was like,
thank you.
Nice touch.
Yeah. So just, you know, thank you for coming on and sharing Red Velvet with us. So remember that, everyone. Go get a copy of Red Velvet. You heard it right here on Mahogany Says Show. So you've got the Love Erotica Journal, and you've got Red Velvet and Lunchtime Chronicles, and then Jolly Ranchers coming out next week. So I wish you all a wonderful evening. I thank you for my guest, Sierra, for coming on again, and you're welcome anytime. And I wish
you
all blessings, peace, and love.
Yes. All right.
You have been listening to Mahogany Says with Mahogany Silverain at mahoganysilverain.net. Thank you and good night.